morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, verses 22 through 36. This is Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Aubrey. Our second reading comes from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul writes to Timothy, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. And I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was anointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering, and I am. And I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted for him, to him on that day. So what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you." Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again just to share your word, to read your word, to know that you speak to each and every one of us. Use us this morning, open our hearts and our minds as we meditate on your word, so we might have a clear understanding of your will, so that we might overcome all that we fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had to just sit down. By the time I got done listening to to Gwen this morning and Rose, and now with what Bruce has told us, I'm thinking, what else could I add to this? It pretty much covered it. But I got to look at this message, and I thought, I'm just so honest. Third Sunday, as we're supposed to talk about fear and how we're going to move forward through this Lent season. When I read the scriptures, it was really appropriate that God led me to 2 Timothy. It wasn't part of the lectionary. And when the first time I read it, I'm thinking, why did he lead me here? Until I read it in a couple of different versions. So I want to focus primarily on one verse this morning, and that's verse 7. And that's where we read, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity. But if you read that in the King James Version, it says God has not given us the spirit of fear. And he goes on. But the power of, but in spirit, the spirit of fear, he says, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So I want us, for a minute, I want us to think about, so if we were to read Genesis and Genesis 3, it starts right out, and it tells us in the story of creation, we're in the chapter 3, and Adam and Eve are hiding. And why are they hiding? Because they disobeyed God. They were kind of like little children, you know. When we were little kids, when we were afraid of getting the consequences for doing something wrong. Of course, I never did anything wrong. I was constantly hiding. But well, that's what little kids do, you know, and we still do that today. And it's interesting that in the Bible, when I got to looking at it, it's like, how do we not fear? Isn't that what Paul's writing about to us today? I got looking at the scriptures that God reading about it. Well, if you get in a big concordance and look it up, which Bonnie made me do, because when I first did it, I was just looking in my Bible, and there was like 70 times it says, fear not. But if you really got in the regular concordance, it's 366 times, actually. You find fear not in the Bible. It's the most mentioned emotion in the Bible. And so when I got looking at that, I got thinking, okay, so he led me to 2 Timothy. He wants us to know how to handle our fear. I'm looking through it, and over again, the Bible got really clear. So this is the most basic emotion ever. And we're all going to experience it. Well, I thought about it, and I'm praying about it. I'm thinking, then I look on the news last week. It says, well, they developed a third vaccine for COVID. I'm thinking, well, that's wonderful, right? And the more I got to thinking about it, I think, well, Timothy gave us the vaccine for fear. It's in the Bible. And I got thinking in my limited knowledge, I'm going, so how does this vaccine actually work? Is it a cure? We'll come to find out, no. It's not a cure, is it? What the vaccine does for us, it gives us the ability to fight off whatever comes from whatever we get, whatever, however the virus affects us. It lessens it. It doesn't cure it. It just teaches our bodies how to fight it off. So I thought about that. I'm thinking, wow, this is wonderful, isn't it? So now I'm looking at Timothy, and I'm reading it in a whole new light. I'm thinking, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a vaccine. He vaccinated us. He didn't do it once, but he did it three times. He gave us the spirit of power, right? It tells us he gave us the spirit of love. And he gave us the spirit of a sound mind. And these are all vaccines that we've been vaccinated with the moment we received Christ as our Savior.
So I thought, maybe we ought to take a look at these so we can better understand how to use them. Because the vaccine wouldn't do you any good if you didn't take it, now would you? So we have to take a hold of it. So I wanted to start with a story. So a few years back, I got to look at the names because right now names are leaving my head here. So in Princeton, Ohio, they were having a sports clinic. And Dan Woodruff, he was their softball coach. He had invited the strength coach for the Cleveland Browns to come in and take part in the clinic. So when the strength coach got there, his name was Dave Redding, when he got there, and he had agreed to do it, he decided he needed to take a shower before they went to the clinic. So Dan shows Dave his office. He says, well, I have a shower right here in the back of my office. You can use that. And I'll leave you, and I'll come back in a little bit, and then we'll go on. And so he goes in the shower. He gets in the shower. He takes the shower. He's in the office. He gets out of the shower. He's ready to go out the door of the office, and door's locked. He can't get out. He thinks, well, this is great. And he gets a little panicky, so he thinks, he tries a bunch of times, it don't open. He thinks, all right, I'll just write a note and slip it under the door. Somebody will see it when they come by. And so he sits there and waits. Well, it's about an hour later when Dave comes back to his office, and he sees this note, and he hears this, help, 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 I'm locked in. So Dave walks over to his office, and he picks the handle, opens the door, looks at him, says, what's the problem? He says, I've been sitting here for an hour waiting. I was locked in. So he let the door close. He walks over, pushes the button on the door, turns the handle. Not locked. All he had to do was push the button. Well, they laughed and giggled about it as they walked down the hall. But can you imagine this? A 230-pound strength coach locked behind an unlocked door. But isn't that the way we all are? Don't we all let fear do that to us? Don't we let our imaginations run away with us? Think about the disciples in the boat when Aubrey was reading to us. So they're out there in this boat. The Lord sent them on their way. They'd just seen him feed 15,000 people with a couple of fishes and loaves. They're out in the boat. They're fighting the wind. They're tired. It's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So they've been out there quite a while at night. And all of a sudden, they see a ghost come walking right straight for them. They're terrified. Doesn't that seem a bit foolish? You know what happened is they let fear get the best of them. They let their imaginations run away with them. So I really thought we ought to look at this vaccine that God gave to us. So when I look at it, I want to look at kind of in a reverse order of what Paul gave to us. He says, so he gave us what? Not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. Think about that. What is the spirit of a sound mind? It's not letting our imaginations get carried away with us. I thought of this. I thought first about a story of that of a mountain man. Well, he's up. They live on the mountain, him and his wife. And he walks out one day to check the still. He goes out there. He's out there checking his still. Next thing you know, here comes this huge bear. There's bears coming after him. Well, he's scared out of his shorts. He takes off running. Never ran so fast in his life. Finally, he loses the bear, and he starts home. Well, his wife's at home, and she's wondering what's going on. He hadn't come back. He hadn't come back. Finally, he appears. It's almost a week later. She's got her hands on her head and said, now where in tarnation have you been? Because I'm certain her imagination was running away with her. And he comes back, he's looking all worn and tired. He says, well, I've been walking home. What do you mean you've been walking home for a week? I'm scared. I was chased by a bear. Think about that for a minute. He had reason to be scared, but he let his imagination run away. I'm certain a bear didn't chase him for a week. I'm certain his wife's imagination let fear into her imagination. We do that a lot. So if you walk out of church here today and you're approached by a bear, I think you got a reason to fear. You might want to move out of the way. But we have a spirit of a sound mind. So, but if you're sitting here in the pew today and you're afraid to smile for the person next to you and ask them how they're doing, you have that fear of that being too shy or timid, it's wrong. And I want to tell you, it's a sin. To have fear is to sin. I bet you never had anybody really tell you that. But think about it. So if you have fear and it keeps you from speaking to your neighbor, from being willing to talk to somebody, to help them out, to tell them about Christ, it's a sin. Because you're cheating yourself. You're cheating your neighbor, your family, your church, your friends out of an opportunity for life. Because we have a sound mind. Most of us, we'll sit. We won't open our mouths. And we're sitting behind an unlocked door thinking it's locked just because we let our imaginations run away with us. Because we might say something wrong or somebody might get the wrong impression. Drives me crazy. We don't have a spirit of fear in us. We've been vaccinated for it. We have a spirit of a sound mind. We also have a spirit of love. God has vaccinated us with the spirit of love. And if we don't use that spirit, it's another sin. But we break the 11th commandment. So what's the 11th commandment? What did Jesus say? I want to make sure I got the right scripture text. Where did I read it? It's in John. You would think I'd have all this memory. My memory is not working too good today. First John. Good John. Bad boy. You got to get in the right one, Joe. Okay, so remember this, John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, Jesus says, is to love one another. So if we don't do that, isn't that being selfish? Think about it. How do we love one another? We've been vaccinated. We've been given a remedy for fear. And we refuse to use it. We've been given this commandment to love one another. In 1 John it says that he writes in there, he says, perfect love casts out fear. Look at it this way. So there was a cartoon, a Peanuts cartoon. We always like Peanuts. Well, Lucy, she's giving this little spiel to Snoopy. She's saying, sometimes you really bug me. And yet the next minute, I want to hug you. Well, the next cartoon has Snoopy there with a grin on his face, thinking to himself, yep, sometimes I'm huggable and sometimes I'm buggable. But aren't we all that way? I mean, isn't our responsibility to overcome our fears, be able to talk to our neighbors, to smile and greet them? If we weren't going through COVID, I'd say it's time to shake their hand, give them a hug. But talk to them. Show them that you care. Because we've been vaccinated with the spirit of love. The third vaccination I really want to talk about, it's the spirit of power. What is this power that he's talking about? How does it work? So I remember, and I got thinking about it. I didn't write this in my sermon I put on the online, but I got thinking about it. It seemed like every time my daughter-in-law, Amber, shows up to the house, this year of the year in the summer, never fails, we have a tremendous thunderstorm. I think the last two times a tree across the road had been hit by lightning and fell over. And I got looking and researching lightning. Well, you know how lightning works, don't you? You see this great big flash. Is that really that great big thunderbolt that's coming out of the sky? Well, no. It actually comes out of the ground. It's just a little leader bolt that comes. It hits the tree and releases it. Releases all that electricity, that surge. It actually comes from within the tree. You know, we're the same way. If we pray to God, he'll just send a little spark. And great things can happen through us. We'll be able to overcome our fears because we're certain of what he has done for us. We can be certain of how he saved us, how he holds on to us. We can be like a sailor who's on a ship and he gets shipwrecked at sea and the waves and toss him. He ends up grabbing onto a rock. He's holding on to his rock till the tide goes down and things calm down. And he's finally rescued. When he got rescued, his friend says, "Weren't you afraid? Didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging onto that rock?" He said, "Yep, I did, but the rock didn't shake." Our rock is Christ. We can hold on to that rock. He won't shake. He's not afraid of anything. And he's given us a vaccine for fear. We just need to hold on to it. Think about Peter. Peter, on that night when they were in that boat, he knew what it was to overcome his fears. He recognized that he was afraid, so he called out to his Lord and asked him and said, "Lord, will you come to me? Can I come to you if it's you?" And the Lord says, "Come," and he gets out of the boat. He's got a confident faith, doesn't he? And in that confident faith, but the minute he looks around him, fear starts to set in again, and he sinks. Just because he took his eyes off Jesus. But I can almost hear Peter now saying, "Save me, Lord!" And he does the same for us as he did for Peter. He reaches his hand down and he catches us. He holds us because he doesn't shake. He's not afraid. He's given us the cure for fear. We got to take it though. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you provide for us, how you have vaccinated us with the vaccine for fear. Because we know we don't have a spirit of fear anymore. For you have given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. Father, I pray that each and every one of us take this home with us. That we put them into practice and we use them and recognize how you have given us all. For we do ask and pray these things in Jesus' name.